Good morning, my dear brethren and sisters. Let's begin our meeting this morning of worship and remembrance with the singing of hymn number 220. Our Heavenly Father, hear the prayer we offer now. Thy name be hallowed far and near, to thee all nations bow. Hymn 220. Before we listen to the words of exhortation, let us now sing hymn number 217. Thy way, not mine, O Lord, however dark it be. Lead me by thine own hand. Choose out the path for me. Hymn 217. Thank you. We're very pleased now to ask Brother Mike Baker to give us the word of exhortation.
Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar or purchased people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Well-known words penned by the Apostle Peter. That is why the Apostle, writing to the brethren and sisters, described them as a called-out community, which is the meaning of the Greek word ecclesia, translated many times in the Bible as church. And that's why we prefer to term ourselves when we meet together as an ecclesia rather than a church. God has seen something in each and every one of us to call us out, to call us and to separate us from those many churches that surround us. Many of us, and I certainly have this morning, have driven past many churches, buildings and halls to be here this morning. To our friends and neighbours, rather strange, can't really understand why we drive so many miles to be in a room where there's no special significance, sometimes meeting in many cases smaller numbers than we are here this morning, but to partake of a simple ceremony. But each one of us, as Peter says, we've been called out of darkness to walk in the marvellous light of God's word. Of course, we're not the first to be called out by God in this way. The children of Israel were also called out of the darkness of Egypt to be God's ecclesia in the wilderness. The way in which they were called out of Egypt is very similar to the way in which we today have been called. Called out of slavery. Slavery to sin and death. And so the Apostle Paul writes in the 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And so, as we said, we have been called. We have been privileged to be baptized into Christ. And we too feed upon the God-provided word. We too are walking a wilderness journey. Well, yes, you may all agree with that, so far, nodding in satisfaction. But then we can say, well, perhaps I haven't done the readings every day last week, but I still try. I try not to stray off the path, for the wilderness is barren and around me, but just occasionally I do get distracted by the pleasures and things that crowd into my mind. But on the whole, I do try. What did the Apostle Paul say in verse 5? With many. The NIV says also, with most of them, God was not well pleased. Why? Because they lusted. They were idolaters. They committed fornication. They tempted Christ. And they murmured. And so we go on to learn the lesson that Paul takes from these sad events. And he tells us that this was all put on record for our admonition. As I say, he warns us then in verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Yes, that was the problem. They thought they were standing. They thought they were doing the right thing. Well, the great problem that confronts us is that we do not necessarily realise at times what we are doing, any more than did Israel of old. For many, we are told, at the judgment, will be satisfied with their life in the truth. Those well-known words penned in Matthew's Gospel record, chapter 7 and verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Undone many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And I suppose in today's language we could say many of us have written articles and books on the truth. We've exhorted, we've lectured from your word. We've even gone abroad preaching, travelled many miles, supported homes for the elderly, visited the sick, written letters. But is that on its own enough? Take heed, lest you fall. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So then, brethren and sisters, we need to turn to the word. We need to meditate on it. We need to grow in knowledge and understanding. And let it order, let it drive our way of thinking and our way of life. Of course, on our own, we can do nothing. The Apostle Paul was so aware of that, that after preaching to others, he also could be rejected at the judgment if he did not hold fast to the truth of God's word. And so that our reading, our middle reading from the Old Testament, Hosea, has many lessons for us today. A lesson, a ministry that was of some 60 years. The name Hosea actually means God helps, and it is linked to Joshua, the Hebrew name for Jesus. God helps, Saviour. Yes, God comes to our aid in the light of what we've already said. We each one, dear brothers and sisters, do need God's help. We need saving. And so we turn to that prophecy in Hosea and in chapter 1. And verse 2. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Here we see the close transition in this prophecy from the woman to the land, and that will interact throughout the prophecy. And so we see that close link of those ideas. And it shows in this book that we've been reading this last week or so, the goodness and severity of God to his people. But the opening words of chapter 7 show us how much God wants to help. He says, I would have healed Israel. Yes, so often God wants to heal his people. But so often we dwell in our weaknesses. So often we break God's commandments. Again, Paul said, when I would do good, evil is ever present. And then despite our failings, and then we have moments of weaknesses and contemplating that God wants to punish us for our sins. And then we're brought back to realise just how far from the truth these thoughts are. No, God doesn't want to punish us for our sins. He wants to heal us. He wants to bring us near to him, to understand him. He wants each and every one of us, which are quite capable because we've been called by God, to bear fruit to perfection. He's called each one of us because he knows we can succeed. But the problem is that men and women don't always respond, which is what this chapter is telling us, which God is saying in effect, I want to heal Israel, but they choose to go their own way. And tragically, so often we're no different. Well, in the opening three chapters of this book of Hosea, we see a parable being worked out. Hosea was commanded to take a wife. Gomer, his wife, proved to be unfaithful. We read that they began with a relatively stable married life and had a child called Jezreel, or scattered, as the name means. But Gomer had adulterous relationships and had two more children, finally leaving Hosea so that she could enjoy herself in the world. And so we go back to Israel. When God took Israel, when God called Israel to himself, she was not faithless to begin with. For we recall those words, those well-known words, don't we, in the wilderness, when the people all shouted, all the Lord had said, we will do. But then going back to the parable in Hosea. But as time went on, Gomer lost her look. She could not attract men as before. Everything started to go wrong. She found she had no money and finally descended into slavery as the only means of existence. We read in chapter 3 and verse 2. For Hosea then says, for I bought her for myself for 50 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley. Yes, after many years, Hosea found her again. Hosea was a man with feelings exactly the same as each and every one of us. And he brought her back to be his wife. Verse 19 of chapter 2. Though talking to the wife, God is now talking to the land of Israel, to the people. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And so it becomes a parable for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, represented by Hosea and with Gomer as representation of the bride of Christ. And in reading this sorry incident, it is only natural to be critical of Gomer. We quite often look and shake our heads in disgust, but then let's take care we are not like the Pharisees in the parable, saying, I thank thee, Lord, that thou hast not made me as this other. Yes, how easy to think upon those words. But let's look a little closer at the text and understand a little more about Gomer and the society in which she lived. And we may find, sadly, we have a little more in common than we like to think. She lived in the last days of the kingdom of Israel. and everything was in decline. Lack of discipline, lack of moral standards. Every man following his own desires. Not much unlike the nations or the people around us today. God's laws disobeyed. We read in chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. Well, there's plenty of knowledge about today. Abundant amount of knowledge. But what he's talking about is knowledge, understanding our Lord. Understanding what he requires from each and every one of us. He goes on, I will reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. And I also will forget your children. They had forgot. They had lack of knowledge. And through lack of knowledge, they forgot God. But this, all this was acceptable. This was the religious practices of the times when Hosea and Gomer lived. They were more associated with the worship of Baal. What Gomer was doing was acceptable behaviour of the times. Hosea, the prophet, was the odd one out, not Gomer. She was behaving in the same way as the women around her do. She'd left her husband. She'd gone to live with another man. She was happy. And today people say, well, what's wrong with that? Yes, the whole society around had fallen from the divine standards. But it does not take much imagination to see how easy it is for us also to lower our standards. Because even to the world around us, our lowered standards look to be good to our friends. And that was just the trap that Gomer fell into. And our reading in Ezra, where the people were taken into captivity after all their wickedness. Had they learnt their lesson? Sadly, no. In chapter 9 of Ezra and verse 2 we read, where Ezra writes, for they had taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, so the holy seed is mixed with the people of those lands. Indeed, the hands of the leaders and rulers have been foremost in this trespass. Yet those that were leading the people now were doing exactly the same things that God had told them not to do. So when I heard this thing, I tore my garment and my robe and plucked out some of the hair of my head and beard and sat down astonished. Yes, the people were still worshipping idols, going their own way, forgotten God through lack of knowledge. And so we can see the relevance of this parable to us, because like Gomer, we too need the help and the healing work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because left to ourselves, we would simply be drawn into the society around us. Perhaps we would try and keep separate, but little by little it would eat away like a canker. Now Hosea and his work, as we said, is a type of Christ's. God does seek to help his people. In our sinful nature and our rebellion, we see through Hosea, God does not turn away from us. Yes, he disciplines us, but he sets to draw us back. And as we see, and as we have read throughout this prophecy of Hosea, God is always there, always ready to listen, to heal his people, to bring them back, if only they would listen and obey. Yes, God is a God who wants to save his people if they would only listen. Well, at first sight, in reading through these chapters, there seems a rejection of Gomer's two children because of their adulterous origin. But in reality, again, this was God's chastening work. He was designing to bring them back. For we read in chapter 1 of Hosea. Chapter 1 and verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Yes, that whole experience of pain and suffering, which each and every one of us go through, is designed to bring us back to God. And at times, our trials, our temptations do seem hard. At times, they seem impossible. But God is showing his people time and time again, he will never leave nor forsake those who put their trust in him. And so we see, Gomer never experienced a pleasant existence, but it did have the effect of developing her mind. Confined by a thorn hedge, she was prevented from finding her own way. Contrasted with the way of the Lord in Genesis chapter 6, it is Hosea who seeks her out to bring her back. Yes, left to her own devices, she would have remained in slavery. We too, on our own devices, would have been left in slavery. We would have been hedged in with our sins and our way of life. But we can see in the life of Hosea and his wife how this parable was being worked out of a way out of sin and death, of slavery. And so we come together today, this morning. Left on our own, we would have been without hope, hedged in with our own sins. Yes, we've been bought with a price, not for silver or barley. No, we have come together this morning to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been bought with the price, that precious blood of our dear Lord and Master, the greatest sacrifice that could be made. And that's why we meet together, to reflect on how much we have to be thankful for, that we indeed have been called out. And so we said earlier in verse 19 of chapter 2, it is the husband, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, who calls, who shows the initiative. And we read in chapter 2, and verse 14, Behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. The NIV says, I will speak tenderly to her. Moffat in his translation said, I will allure her, put her alone and apart, and speak to her heart. Can we here not sense the feeling, the great love of speaking tenderly to the heart? Do we not realise and understand that God feels intensely both the grief and the joy according to the response of his people? For it is his goodwill for us to learn of his ways, to remember what has been done for us. His great love, even towards us, a sinner, as long as there's a chance of redeeming him. What beautiful words they are, to speak tenderly to the heart. Remembering that in this parable, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us, dear brethren and sisters. Chapter 2 and verse 15, I will give her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor is a door of hope. She shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. Think how low Gomer had descended, yet this is what God is setting before her. As in the day of her youth. Yes, once again, her looks had returned. All things were new. No wonder Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote these words to the believers in Rome when he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What wonderful words, what wonderful hope. And so finally, Hosea concludes that the lesson for all is that whatever God does toward ourselves or others, let us always accept it as being right. Whatever he commands us to believe without argument. And this prophecy of Hosea is so encouraging despite its warnings. And we have seen in Hosea and his wife that God feels intensely both grief and joy according to the response of his people. That despite great wickedness, his compassion towards them is long-suffering, inexhaustible. Yes, dear brethren and sisters, that's why we have driven past so many churches and halls to meet together in fellowship here this morning. To meet together, to partake in a few moments of a simple but deeply meaning ceremony. To thank God that we've been called out, that we have been bought with a great part price, a price of suffering and shame, even agony and death. And so finally, the prophet Hosea was able to look beyond this present trouble, as we all too can lift up our heads beyond the troubles that are around us, not just ourselves personally, but all our brethren and sisters throughout the world. To a time when God's goodness will be toward all those that truly seek him. For we read in chapter 3 and verse 4, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." And that's the time we too so long for. And so we've seen this morning of God's endless love and mercy towards us. And the great comfort each one of us can take in knowing that it is indeed his good pleasure to give each and every one of us the prize of life eternal.
Let us now sing hymn number 265. Hymn 265. "The bread and wine we take, O Lord, and in these emblems see thy body broke, thy blood outpoured, as we remember thee. Hymn 265. Brother Paul Southgate will conclude our meeting with prayer after we have sung hymn 113. Joy cometh, oh that it were come, to wake the song that now is done, to rouse the mourner, soothe who weep, and bring again the dead who sleep. Hymn 113.